Well, let me say once again, Merry Christmas. Welcome. My name is Paul. I'm one of the pastors here at New Hope Church, and we're really glad that you've chosen to celebrate Christ's birth with us on this Christmas Eve. I want to start out by asking a question, and I'm going to ask you to just take a minute and share your answer with those around you. So if you came with some friends or some family members, maybe you came on your own, that's totally okay. You'll get to meet a few folks around you. Here's the question, and I'm going to ask you to let the kids give their answer to this question first. So here's the question. What brings you joy? Don't think about it too hard. No boundaries. Just answer the question, what brings you joy? All right, I'm going to share a couple of my own with you. Here's the first one. Here's the first thing that brings me joy. Reese's. Did anyone else say that? Be honest. Any kids out there? Are you serious? One, two. I love this. Yeah! All right. No spoilers for the 5 o'clock service on that, all right? I've only got this many left. All right, here's another thing that brings me joy. Odell Beckham Jr. on all three of my fantasy teams. He was a monster the second half of the season. Look up Odell Beckham, the catch. That was three fingers that he caught that ball with. That was amazing. Here's another thing that brings me joy. This is my wife and I. We're in the midst of an adoption journey the last couple years. Thank you. You know, the last couple years have been filled with ups and downs for us and struggles, but God's taught us so much, and we're joyful because of that struggle, because of what God's taught us, and we're also really excited for what's around the corner. We're actually going to be approved, or our home's going to be finalized here in just a little bit over 2 weeks, and then we'll be eligible and waiting and praying, and we don't know when that phone call and opportunity will come, but that brings me joy, even the uncertainty of not knowing. Tonight we're going to look at a Christmas carol. We've heard it several times tonight. A song that's all about joy. God rest ye merry gentlemen. The chorus of it, you've heard a couple different renditions of it. O tidings of comfort and joy. The author of this song is unknown. You can trace the origins of it all the way back into the 1600s, actually, when it was first sung. But over the first couple hundreds of years, which I know to us, I'm just about 30 years old, so I think 100 years, I'm like, that's a long time. Well, this song was around now for 400 some years that we're singing it. After it had been around for about 200 years, it gained a ton of popularity. In England and in London in particular, in the 1800s, this was the top Christmas carol. In fact, in 1843, Charles Dickens, in his book, his famous novel, A Christmas Carol, you know what song he included? You know what the song that Christmas Carol is named after? God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. The story of A Christmas Carol, maybe you're familiar with it. It centers around a villain, a man named Ebenezer Scrooge, who is a grumpy old man. That's actually Scrooge McDuck. I think we got the wrong picture. That was the Disney rendition of Scrooge. He actually looked a lot more grumpy. I watched the 1938 version last night. The guy looks scary. Anyway, Ebenezer Scrooge is the center of the story. He's a grumpy old man who hates everything, everyone, and especially Christmas. Now, early on in the story, Scrooge's grumpiness gets put on full display. Kind of the first scene or the first act of it, if you've seen it in play form, it showcases his just negativity and his attitude and his bitterness toward everything. But toward the end of that scene, there are some kids that come caroling to his outside his door. You know what phrase he says over and over? Anybody remember it? Bah humbug. Actually, the original, this is humbug. Where are the kids? Kids, can you say that with me? Say humbug. Humbug. Don't ever use that one on your parents. They'll resent me for it. Now, in one scene, there are kids caroling outside of Scrooge's door. These carolers gather, and there's their director with a hat asking for a collection, And the Christmas carol that they're singing is "God Rest Ye, Merry Gentlemen." Now, when Scrooge hears this song, he loses it. He flips out. He goes off the rails and is just in a fit of rage over this putrid thing called Christmas. But what does that title even mean? "God Rest Ye, Merry Gentlemen." Think about it for a minute. God wants happy, nice guys to sleep? And if you translate it literally, that's what we would think. That first phrase and the title of the song, written in Old English, really doesn't make a lot of sense to us if we just take it at face value. You know, there are two parts that we do know, the first and last words, God and gentlemen, right? Like, we know God and we know gentlemen, people. The question is, what does "Resty Mary" mean? Now, I'm going to just be honest with you. There's actually a little bit of controversy in Christian circles over the meaning of that phrase in the middle, "Rest ye merry." I'm going to give you just a little history for it. I know Pastor Jeff only gave me like 18 minutes, so I'm going to keep it short. But a number of years ago, a Christian author wrote a book kind of detailing stories of Christmas carols, which is, if you didn't catch it, that's what we're doing tonight. We're unpacking a Christmas carol together. And with this title, he speculated that perhaps "Mary" can be substituted with the word "mighty." That in Old English, maybe that's what it means. That Old English, "Mary" and "mighty" are kind of synonymous with each other. And so the song is actually talking about how God makes us mighty or strong. Well, that book actually took off. There were other books that were written. There were articles that were written, radio interviews that were done, actually chain emails that went out, even Facebook shares. Maybe you've seen them. Now, I know that's hard to imagine that perhaps something that's been spread on email chains might not necessarily be true. But I want to suggest to you that this "Mary Mighty" synonymous thing probably falls into that category. In fact, a Christian artist just over a year ago wrote a song called "Mighty Christmas," and the whole theme of the song is "Turn this Mary into Mighty Christmas." He wrote it after reading this gentleman's book and the article. Now, confession, 5 years ago, I led a Christmas devotion for our staff here at New Hope Church, and guess what? I did Christmas carols that preach. I preached, I think it was 4 or 5 different Christmas carols, and this is one of them, and I preached that Mary means mighty, and this is what it means, and I didn't realize until about a week and a half ago when I got more in depth into the old history of the English language to realize that it's not actually true. I mean, here's the problem. If you look at the Oxford history of the English language, and particularly in the 16 through the 1800s, there's absolutely no connection between the words "Mary" and "mighty." But what we do find is that phrase, "Rest ye Mary," was actually a fairly common greeting. If you look at literature from that time period, so Shakespeare and many other authors wrote with phrases like that. You'll find in several of Shakespeare's plays, in the script, "Rest ye Mary." Other authors write similar phrases, "Rest ye fair," "Rest ye happy," "Rest ye well." It's a common greeting. That word "rest" in Old English simply meant to keep or to assure. So "Rest ye merry," we don't need to read too far into it. Simply, it's telling us how to be glad or to be joyful. So this Christmas carol that we're unpacking the story and significance of tonight is telling us how we can find true joy and assurance in the Christmas season. This song actually has 7 verses. We typically just sing kind of the first one and the last one. We actually have intentionally sung several of them tonight, and you're going to get a chance to sing a few others here as before we close and head our way. But verses 2 through 6, the kind of the middle section, there's verse 1 and verse 7 that you're probably familiar with. But verses 2 through 6 actually unpack, they tell the story of the shepherds as recorded in Luke chapter 2. And the story that's unfolded for us highlights Luke chapter 2 verse 11, which the angels declare to the shepherds, "For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And so verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 kind of tell that story scene by scene. And the response to that story is seen in the choruses, tidings of comfort and joy. We're going to look at just a few phrases from the first verse and the fourth verse tonight that give us the biggest points, the biggest reasons why God can rest us, why he can make us and give us assurance of the deepest and the greatest joy. So verse one, here's the lyrics to verse one. God, rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior, that's Luke 2:11, put right into the text. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. This verse kind of summarizes the whole song. It's the verse that you're probably familiar with. It calls us to remember Christ, to remember the birth of Christ the Savior, and tells the purpose of his birth, that he came to save us all from Satan's power. Now, in the first line there, actually, first and second line on the screens, there's a contrast between Mary and dismay. The aim of this song is that we move from a place or be prevented from going to a place of dismay, but instead find delight, find merriment, find joy, and find happiness. And the way that we're led from dismay to delight is by walking with those shepherds through the verses of this song, to gaze upon Christ the Savior. Now, the last line of this first verse, if you look at it there, when we were gone astray, that points us to that reality, our condition, that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each and every one of us has turned to his or her own way. And the song calls us to remember Christ our Savior, who came to rescue us from that reality. The verse 4 of the song tells us exactly how that happens. Look at the words to verse 4. Here's the angel's message, a part of it, to the shepherds. The angel says, "Fear not, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bright, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might." So this Christmas carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, declares the reason why we celebrate Christmas. That this day, I know it's tomorrow, but we'll say this day on Christmas is born a Savior. A Savior is born, and Christmas is the celebration of that. Now focus in on the fifth and sixth line of this verse. Freedom and joy are found by those who trust in him. So joy comes when we experience the freedom of putting our trust in Christ. Not trusting in ourselves. I want you to think back to the story of Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge, the crux of the story is that his friend, his former business colleague who has passed away, comes to him and tells him, three spirits are going to visit you tonight. And as each of these three spirits visit him, they show him what a grump and what a Scrooge, that's where that term comes from, what a grump he's been. And you find in the fifth scene of this play, of this novel, Scrooge wakes up and he pledges to change his ways. Really, he's scared into changing. And all of a sudden, this grumpy, terrible, bitter old man becomes this kind-hearted, generous, and joyful gentleman. Now that's the message of so many plays and books and movies in the Christmas season, right? They're feel-good stories of people who have this kind of aha, epiphany moment that helps them see what we call the true spirit of Christmas. And Ebenezer Scrooge demonstrates that. But this is where stories like A Christmas Carol fall short. Verse 4 tells us that true joy doesn't come from effort. True joy doesn't come from thinking good thoughts or having an epiphany moment where you realize, oh, I've really been a jerk and I shouldn't be anymore, so I'm going to decide not to. True comfort and joy comes from the freedom that's found in trusting Jesus Christ, the Savior. In Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul was speaking to a group of people who were incredibly religious, a group of people who thought they knew God. They knew things about God, but in reality, they didn't have a relationship with Him through Christ. And at the end of an amazing message, an amazing sermon that he gives them in Acts chapter 13, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to attain under the law of Moses." So the Apostle Paul points us to this law, the law of Moses, that represents our own efforts. Our own efforts cannot set us free from the power of sin. And because our own efforts can't set us free from the power of sin, our strivings, even our greatest epiphany, can't make you right with God, and therefore cannot bring you true joy. Comfort and joy cannot be found apart from Christ. But to those who trust in Him, to those who trust in Him, Jesus the Savior brings freedom and forgiveness. And that reality, the freedom and forgiveness that is found from trusting in Christ, brings the greatest, the deepest, the most amazing joy that you will ever know. And when you know that freedom, when you trust in Christ, you find joy. Joy that's better than Reese's or anything else that this world has to offer. Joy that's eternal. Joy that's enduring. Joy that's unshakable. The tidings of comfort and joy that are declared in that song, "God Rest You Merry Gentlemen," that joy is yours when you trust in Christ. If you don't know that joy today, it's available to you. That joy, that comfort and joy is waiting, is accessible to you because Jesus came. Because He came, He entered into our world as a baby. He took on flesh, and because He walked the road to Calvary one day and died on a cross, those who trust in what He did can find comfort and joy. You don't have to lean on your effort. You don't have to lean on your performance or your goodness or your ability to become approved in your own mind by God. Comfort and joy is available to you. If you would just turn and say, "Jesus, I trust You. I trust that You've done for me what I couldn't do for myself. You've paid the price for my sins." If you don't know that joy and that comfort, it's available to you. And if you know that joy this Christmas, knit me along with the text of this song, "God Rest You Merry Gentlemen," encourage you to walk in it. Receive it, celebrate it, and let your life, not just this Christmas, but in the coming weeks, months, and this year, let it display that comfort and joy has come to the world in Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You that You came. We thank You for the amazing reality that You, God eternal, took on human flesh. You were born as a man, as a baby. We thank you for your life that you lived, the perfection that you demonstrated, but yet even in your perfection, deserving no punishment, you took on our punishment, dying in our place to save all those who trust in you. I pray right now in this room, Father, that any who have not trusted in Christ, I pray right now that you, by your Spirit, that you would move your hand in hearts. Right now, would you free us to trust in him? As we sing, as we celebrate, as we spend time with loved ones in the coming days, God, would you remind us of the reality of what Christ has accomplished, freeing us, forgiving us, and in so doing, giving us true comfort and joy when we trust in him. It's in his name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.